You are listening to a podcast of Ice and Fire, episode number 271 for the week of December 17th, 2023. Welcome back, listeners, to the longest running podcast dedicated to the epic glory of George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire, and occasionally Game of Thrones, and occasionally House of the Dragon. As always,
this is Ashley.
This is Amin.
And this is Kyle. Mimi is still vanished into the mist, huh?
She's across the narrow sea somewhere.
Well, it's good to hear you guys. It's good to talk to you. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been a long time. It's good to reconnect, continue our longest running reread. That's one of the things we'll be doing today.
Yeah. Ashley, how's the frozen north?
Not very frozen. Yay, global warming. Yeah. I was just in Canada for a month visiting my parents, and everything's all right up there. It feels like October when it should be like December. But I'm back in Chicago now and just getting ready for Christmas, really.
Yeah, Christmas in Chicago. That must be a little magical.
It's actually going to be my first one in Chicago because I've always gone to visit my parents during Christmas. So this year I'm like, no, I want to be in my own home for Christmas and see what it's like. Decorate.
Are you going to have people over? Are you going to like be the one throwing the party?
Not sure. My sister-in-law lives down the street, so we'll either be there or they'll be here.
Nice. I like it. What about you, Amin? You gearing up for the holiday season?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I don't complain of the lack of winter weather, but I think it'll be coming anyway by Christmas time.
Very nice. So what are we doing today? Do we have any news, actually, before we jump into our topics of the day? Any news that you guys have been hearing about? Anything?
Well, part of the thing that we're covering is the trailer for House of the Dragon Season 2. So I guess that's news in itself that it's out. We will be covering that. But besides that, I'm trying to think if there's anything.
Has George given a release date yet?
We would have heard about it, too, if he did
that. And yet there are still articles coming out quoting him from, like, 2 years ago saying, he said this, it's coming. And it's like, this is like a five-year-old quote from a two-year-old article. And it's like, come on, Internet.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard, anything. Maybe I've had my head under a rock, but been quiet on the, what's the saying? Quiet on the Eastern front?
Well, if I think there, in terms of like TV show spinoffs, I think somewhere I read that the Snow spinoff is never happening, which I could have told you that years ago. It's never going to happen. But
what's the deal with that?
Nobody
roller coaster ride? It wasn't. Like, what? I'm so confused.
Well, it's not. It's not. I think it's confirmed that it's not coming, which, yeah. It's just not needed.
No, you don't want Jon Snow just sitting at the wall. It's just 45 minutes of him shivering.
They can repeat. They can do what they do in cheap anime, is repeat stills of the snow coming down.
It's Dragon Ball Z. He's just like powering up to take on the wild.
We have, I guess, podcast-related news with the return of the podcast historian, Brendan. We wanted to mention that, right?
Yes, absolutely. Brendan is back. He is doing a reread himself, and he is linking to those articles on our Discord. So jump on there, check it out. It's nice to see a familiar name back in action. I think he took a little bit of a break.
He's quite active. And, he made up for the time of being away. Like he's going through it really quickly.
Yeah, love it.
There's one other thing I guess I'll mention. I don't know if it'll ever be done. Is our Storm of Swords paint project? Is there? it's literally down to like the last three chapters. There's only three chapters left. So if those three ever get completed, then we'll actually be able to produce that book.
I think when Brendan came back, there was like a mention of, oh, there's a chapter left, or somebody was like, that's still happening. Yes. We might not record and be as active as we used to, but we're still around. We're still making things happen. So, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So should we jump into our trailer chat?
Yeah,
or?
Let's do that. I think that's good. I mean, because that's kind of like what's going to be. This is kind of like our off season. And when the show is on, this is our on season. But it's good to know what's coming, right, for season two.
Right. Yeah, we just get about a minute and a half long trailer, a teaser, I guess.
Yeah. And it really is a teaser, because I was just looking at it again. I'm just like, I have no points to make about this. Just it's just kind of like war is coming. And yeah, it is. Dragons.
The budget looks good, though. I mean, in terms of like money and what they're putting into the effects, I think it's going to be great. Like that alone will make it exciting. I mean, but we know that the base storyline is good once it gets to this point of the battles.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. Production value really does look really good. And it looks exciting. I mean, the teaser was cut really well. I'm the Kindle is resparked, you know. I'm excited for it to come out and watch it. It's gonna be wild. The first season was really good. And elephant in the room, we never finished our episode recaps about it. Maybe we'll go back and do it at some point. Maybe I don't know. Don't hold your breath, but it's
out
there.
It'd be nice to do like maybe a mini review right before it starts.
Right before
again.
It comes out, maybe. Yeah,
I'm probably gonna need to rewatch the last few episodes of last season and be like, okay, what happened?
I'm in like cosplay groups and stuff, and like people, the spark.
You are.
I'm seeing it in like, you know, like people talking about like getting their costumes and sourcing materials and whatnot. So the spark is absolutely, you know, reigniting of people getting excited about it.
I love that. I love to hear that. Yeah, this is such a fascinating thing, because so many people were angry at the end of Game of Thrones, and the run of the show, it was such a phenomenon that, like, even despite the anger, there's still this hardcore fandom for it and everything, and it's just wild. Quite a journey we've been on.
Well, you know what was interesting with the source material, though, that made it seem different. It almost seemed like a different story was the amount of dragons and the amount of battles involving dragons and the smaller armies. Like it felt like almost a different story, which wasn't a problem. It just felt different when I was reading it. So I wonder how it's going to be to see it on the show as well. Because even though they did use the dragons in Game of Thrones, they didn't really use them that much in comparison to the amount of them here and the amount that they're going to be involved. So I don't know. I think it's going to feel almost like a different show, maybe, and not that that's negative. That could be a positive.
I think that's going to be like an interesting part on like the analysis front, just being like, okay, how are they, you know, because I don't think they have the budget to show every single dragon fight, like how they managed to convey them all. And I'm just going to be curious to those tricks and, you know, what comes back as hearsay and what do we actually see?
Well, I don't think we'll have any more like pass out battles. Like 2 hours later, so the aftermath, I hope you don't resolve.
Tyrion fade to black.
Yeah.
So any characters or anything you guys were like, oh hey, in the trailer, or anything specific, or more just a general vibe?
Yeah, the trailer really did not reveal anything new that we, you know, like to give us hints as to more than what we would expect. Like there was no allusion to like blood and cheese or anything, you know, that, you know, us book readers would be looking out for. I didn't notice any. I don't know if you did.
Well, it's going to be...
I did not.
Yeah, interesting how far in the storyline it goes, too.
I'm looking at this army walking down the road. They've got the sigil. Is that the Old Town Tower? Green on black. It's at 12 seconds.
It is the High Tower one, right? Yeah. You see the lighthouse, right?
Yeah. The High Tower, yeah. Guess I never imagined there's black and green, but probably because I haven't had my face in the books as much.
Well,
recently.
That's one of the differences too. The House of the Dragon is how High Tower is so inherently involved in what's happening, and yet in the Game of Thrones storyline that they're so recluded and barely involved. It's more in alignment with what the power that they are involved in the storyline. That's one thing I found interesting about this.
But Ashley nailed it with we don't know anything new. It kind of just gives us the information that we already knew at the end of last season. And sort of hits us over the head with the ominous, you know, premonition of like when dragons fight, it's going to be bad.
I wonder if they will have a House of the Dragon thing at Comic-Con, like, given the timing, it's coming out in summer. it should be airing at that time.
Oh, I would imagine so. If it's coming out in summer, there's probably going to be, the halls are going to be decked with hot D material.
Well, we're going to have to sign up for that press time to attend.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get there this year. What about you? You guys going?
Oh, yeah, I think I want
to
go there again.
I will have to see about budgets, but I would like to go again.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, it'd be good to have all of us there.
Nice. I got to get out to Dragon Con, Ashley.
Yes.
Get to show me around.
You went to a different con this year, Ashley, right? Was it the Final Fantasy one that you went to?
Yeah, I went to FanFest. It was in Vegas. It's more of industry, like announcement. So it wasn't like a fan convention. It was like the actual Square Enix puts it on.
Oh.
So it's very different. It's more like a big showroom almost.
Cool.
So that was that.
But yours was quite exclusive, I think, wasn't it? You had like, it was a very limited amount of tickets.
Yeah, we did a lottery for tickets, and my husband won. I did not, and so we just kind of got lucky in that sense.
Nice. Where was that?
Vegas.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Scandalous.
Are you going to go to WonderCon, Carl, or just ComCon?
Oh, you know what? I would like to go to WonderCon. I am. I'm getting the energy back.
Yeah.
To like re-go. I mean, the pandemic and everything kind of really just was like kind of took the wind out of me, I guess. But I'm getting the urge to go do these things again. So yeah, I hope to go to WonderCon. I hope to go to San Diego Comic Con and get back in the
Atlanta for Dragon Con.
Oh yeah, when is Dragon Con?
The Labor Day weekend at the end of August.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. I'll have to see if I can make that happen, because that sounds amazing. Everybody who I know has gone just says it's a unique con, an awesome con and a unique con.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. It's a party con, but it's also so big that even if you're not into the party scene, there's other things for you to do. But I know it better as the party con.
I gotta meet my future nerdy wife at Dragon Con. That's how it's gonna work.
Possible. I know people who have.
Oh well, there we go. I like it.
Ashley herself met her partner at a convention.
That was Ice and Fire Con, but
still a convention.
Yep.
I'm gonna set up a dating booth in the middle of one of the hotel lobbies.
You can go into the geeky speed dating. You can join they'll have one.
I love it. Which dragon is this at the end of the trailer? The big.
Let's see.
Is it supposed to be? Got holes in his wings.
Isn't it starts with a V, isn't it?
Vhagar, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. I love the messed up wing, like the holes in it. Oh,
yeah.
It's in fact just badass. Can you imagine being a troop? Like, oh, battle's bad enough, man. This fight's gonna be crazy. Like, I might die, and then all of a sudden there's a dragon. But you're like, oh shit.
Well, that was the fact that they had the dragons was because that was why they had the smaller armies. Like, that was why it was noticeable. When you were reading the battles, it was armies of like 5,000 to 10,000. It wasn't 50,000 because it wasn't worth it to lump too many people in one place. Like it was a notable difference in the way the war went.
They all learned from the Dornish.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, do you want to go on to the chapters, I guess? Continue our longest running reread? We get to do that?
Yeah. Let's do it. All right. Let me exit out of this. And where are we in our reread? We are in our Feast of Dancing Dragons Crows.
Right.
the I can never remember what we decided to call
Feast
it. What?
Dance, I think. It's a crossed book discussion, but this one is just the Feast for Crows today, like both chapters.
Yeah. So we're doing two chapters today. We're doing Brienne. Let me back up a little bit. We are doing Brienne 2, chapter 10 in A Feast for Crows, and Sansa 1. Oh, Sansa's first chapter in A Feast for Crows. So let's see. I will stumble through a very brief recap. Brienne arrives at the gates of Duskendale. She is on the quest to try to find Sansa, and she believes he might be with Dantos, so she's searching for a fool, and she gets word from someone that there is a gentleman in Motley that he saw, and so she starts pursuing this jester fellow, and we don't reach him in this chapter, but kind of sends her on her way. And at the very end of the chapter, Podrick Payne arrives, and the two of them start their companionship.
Sir
my lady. And that's kind of a very brief synopsis of what happens in this chapter, but it's quite a few things. I feel like there's a lot of hints in this chapter of past events. We have the Duncan Egg connection, which bears its head in this chapter, and some other crazy things that I'm sure you guys probably picked up on. So, Amin, what do you think? What stuck out to you in this one?
Well, let's go straight to that Duncan Egg reference, because I think it's worth highlighting. That's where the theory of Brienne potentially being a descendant of Dunk comes from. And the idea goes to the fact that she's reminded of an old shield in her father's armory, and that's what she uses to repaint her current shield too. And, you know, it seems pretty simple. Okay, there's a shield with it bearing Dunk's, you know, arm from his, the arms that he used in the tournament, right? In the first Duncan Egg story with the
with the tree and the falling star.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, that's his arms, that's his shield. Ends up in the armory. It doesn't really mean anything by itself, because it could just be there, right? That one line you think is not that much, but people kind of put it together. Well, Brienne is really freakishly large for her size and stuff. Like, genetics wise, she seems like she could be a descendant. And, you know, this isn't just a random story. There's Martin writing it, so this could be a reference. Like, he could have written it that way. Now, we don't know. I mean, he became Kingsguard, so he technically shouldn't have had children, but he might have still had some before he became officially Kingsguard. Right, you might have
So how would that work? So he just like stayed at the Tarth Castle, and I feel like I should know the name off the top of my head, and then like left his shield there, or how does it go from okay, Dunk's shield ended up in her basement to Dunk being her dad?
Well, not dad. It would be maybe granddad or great ancestor, like she's descended from him. I'd have to look at the theory again to see if there's any other evidence for it. I mean, when you look at it just like from a distance, it doesn't look like there's much there, but it seems like a hint. Like, why would there be such a reference like twice kind of in the chapter to that? Yeah. But I guess it would be that he somehow fathered a child there at some point. I don't know if it was just like he fathered a bastard and didn't have any connection. Well, the shield's there. Maybe he still did take care of the child, and when he became famous later, rose up the ranks, maybe he still took care of it, right? Because I mean, even if he had a child before he became Kingsguard, he can still keep an eye on what's happening over there. I guess go ahead.
I feel like maybe it was something after he became Kingsguard, because I feel like she would, if it was something that was not scandalous, she would know. But if it's a scandal, they, you know, it would be kept secret, right?
Mm. Yeah, it could be after that he was a king. So, I mean, even if he did have a child, it wasn't like Egg was going to be like, get rid of him, which is probably forgive him, right? Like, or maybe they'd be practical about it. So,
I mean, he wasn't a knight either.
Right.
So,
supposedly. Well, Brienne's not a knight either, right? I think Shimini wrote about that. She wrote a story about comparing Brienne and Dunk the way that neither of them were knights, yet they were following the ideal of a knight. She wrote an essay about that. So that's another mirror between them.
I love it. Two awesome characters. I'm all for it. I just want to know, and I don't know if we ever will know, like, the history there. What is it? Was there a scandal? Was it Dunk being Dunk? You know, was it?
Yeah, I think it might be an Easter egg that never gets clarified, but maybe hinted at further.
If it's shown, it will be in the egg stories, not in, you know, Song of Ice and Fire. If he ever does further Duncan Egg stories, then
if we ever get more Duncan Egg, maybe it will get explained.
Oh, so I just jumped online. I did a little Google, and there's a Reddit thread, and Mary One and Only says, yes, Dunk is Brienne's ancestor. Martin confirmed it. Remember, this is a Reddit thread,
right.
Reddit post. Martin confirmed it at Balticon event back in 2016. And he also stated, we'll know how they're related in due time. A little trivia. Martin also made Dunk and Jamie's great-grandmother, Lady Rohan, fall in love in a prequel book.
Oh, Lady Rohan. So she's actually her descendants with the Lannisters.
Yes. Oh, it's a whole article on this. Okay. Martin has revealed Brienne's amazing secret legacy. Okay. Well, it looks like there is
official confirmation.
Gizmodo. Yes. Sorry. My internet knowledge is terrible. There's a Gizmodo article about it. She links it. So sounds like Martin confirmed it back in 2016. So cool. I'm still waiting for Dunk's Winterfell adventure. To see if Hodor is related to him too, you know?
Everyone who's over like 6 foot five or something is related to them. Find out the Clegane are also
option.
The part Martin leaves out of the Dunk and Egg stories is that he was sowing his wild oats all along the countryside.
Yes, and right. He goes beyond the wall and poor Giant's Bait is also
Yes. I love this. This is great. Maybe there's some tall Merlings out there as well.
Yeah, that's funny.
Awesome. All right, cool. I love it. What else? Anything else stick out to you in this
chapter? Just before I move on, I do feel like this is one. I don't think I saw the actual theory when I read the books, but I certainly did recognize the shield when I read the books. I remember seeing this. I don't think I put it to. I came up like I went jump to this theory, but I do remember this hint. So the fact that there's that reference, I do remember when I first read it.
I'm thick like a castle wall, just like Dunk. So I never notice this stuff on a first read. It's always like somebody will mention it, and I'll do a reread, and I'll be like, "Oh shit, how did I miss that the first time?" So
okay, well let's move on to some of the other stuff. One line that really kind of stood out to me was when Brienne was thinking about Lady Caitlin. And saying, I will never stop looking for Sansa. I will give up my life. I'll give up my honor, whatever it takes. Give up my dreams. And I felt like that, I don't know, that might have some meaning to it. Like, she really is going to go down that route. I guess we'll see what happens. Mm. It did stick out to me.
Also, like, the moment when she's thinking of Renly. She's thinking of his death. And all of a sudden, she's thinking of Jaime. And she's like, wait, hold on a second. Like, aw.
And then they're like, oh, you must really miss your sister. She's like, yeah, sister.
I also love the story about how she fought her suitor.
Yeah.
And like kicked his ass.
That was one of my favorite 65 parts. Years old and she was what, 16? Great.
Well, he was also the third person that she was betrothed to. So he was like, they just kept trying to find somebody for her. Like she was refusing them or vice versa. And then. I was just glad that she was able to stick up for herself. So it was difficult. She said she was shy at the time, but got into a fight and then just beat him.
The third and the last. She like cracked a couple of his ribs or something.
Yeah. Love it. You learn more about her training, and this Sir Goodwin helped her train and use her stamina to her advantage, and the fact that men will try to finish the fight quickly, use that against them. So that's good.
Yeah. Now, who was he? He was just a random dude, or was he part of the castle?
He was. I don't know if he was captain of the guards, or he was a guy that worked there that her father put to train her. So he was actually quite helpful to her.
Kind of liked how he came across in this chapter. It seemed like he didn't. He was like, man or woman, I don't give a shit. You can carry a sword. You can fight. Let's do this. Yeah. You know. I enjoyed.
Very serial Pharrell.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's still alive, right?
No, I just looked him up because I was curious. He's dead. He's
Cereal Pharrell?
No, Goodwin.
Oh, I was talking about Cereal.
Oh, yeah. Well, that one depends.
Martin confirmed it in 2016. He's still alive. Let's see, what else we got? So, obviously, she bumps into this dwarf in... in the inn she's at, and they're and they're chatting, and he's got a horrible story to tell, but they're chatting, you know, the ruinations of war. That's a big part of these adventures that everybody traversing, is you just get to see that war just decimates all these towns and all these innocent people's lives. And so Dorst telling him that he did see it, and he's being earnest that he saw, at least it feels like he's being earnest. There's no ill intent here, but he's directing him towards a dude he saw in Motley who could be Dantos, but we know, I mean, at this point, we don't really know, right?
Well, Dantos is dead, so it's certainly not Dantos.
Oh, yes, of course.
But it is, I'm trying to remember if it relates to Bloody Mummers. Like, he's telling the truth. Like, he saw these people and they did exist. They're just not who Brienne is looking for.
Yeah, I was racking my brain being like, this has got to be a hint to something else going on in the books, but I could not. It's been so long since I've done a thorough reread, and I was just like, I don't know, but I feel like it's a hint. It's got to be related to something.
Well, she comes across some of the Bloody Mummers later, including Roars, the rest of them. They're trying to leave. Yeah. Well, some of them are trying to leave, right? They're trying to escape Westeros.
Right. So it's like Shaggard or
Shagwell and all those people. So it might be them, right? That's what I was thinking. Like, Ashley's right. It is supposed to refer to something. It's not just some passing story. So. Yeah. The fact that they're avoiding the troops and they're trying to get a ship.
Do you recall your first time reading this? Did you have any inclination of who the guy in Motley was?
No, not the first time. I don't think I would have. This is in hindsight. Like, I feel like I know who it is from later, because we know she come across them later.
Right.
Yeah.
Zolo, Rorge, and Shagwell. Yeah, there we are. There it is.
Is Shagwell a fool? Because if it is, it's him. I'm trying to remember. Because one, they did have a fool.
I think Shagwell's the fool.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause.
And then they failed to leave, right? So that's why they show up again. I guess they were going to try to get a ship, and then they got cheated. That's what happened.
Good. They got screwed.
I know. They deserve that.
Yeah. Zolo is the Dothraki, right? Yeah. And Rorge has the mouth, the teeth. I believe, and
Biter has the teeth. Rorge is the master. Yeah,
Rorge is the master. Oh, okay, there it is. Yeah. Excuse me. And then Shagwell's, the fool, the guy in appears.
He's not a maester. He's the master of Biter. Like, he's in charge of Biter. Is Rorge? He's worse than Biter.
He's a maester. He's a maester.
If he was a maester, he'd be the worst maester. But.
Oh, dude! Imagine an evil maester. Well, I guess we do have an evil maester. Never mind. Yeah. Geez, my shocking lack of knowledge has not gotten any better, guys. Let me tell you.
One of the highlights again for the chapter, because it gives a little bit of backstory about Duskendale and the Defiance there, and one point there, the reference to the Mirish wife that led the guy astray, the Lord Darkland. That's a common meme or trope in the stories about this mysterious woman of the East leading people astray. I mean, that's what Melisandre is being put into. People view her that way. Other characters that fit that trope. So it's worth mentioning. Like, that's another example that they have there. It's like the it's almost like the common people see that. Like, fairly or not, she may not have been the cause of it at all, but they put it on her that way, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And that whole Defiance story was interesting to get some more detail. I mean, I think there's more of that in the World of Ice and Fire, more details on it, but it's like the fact that they held the king and they didn't want to attack because he could have been killed. It would have been better if he was killed. If the king was killed, it would have been better for the Targaryens.
That's a wild story. Right. Like,
I'm sure Tywin agrees.
They just, like, the way they tell it in this chapter is just, and Barristan showed up, and they let the king go. Like, whoa, how did that happen? As in the chapter, I couldn't help but think that. It's like, you know, they had the king, and then Barristan showed up, and it was like, oh, king's free. It's like, okay. Well,
It was rescued, but it doesn't go into any of the details. That's right. It's just very brief.
Like, I want to know, did he, like, cut his way through everybody, or did he do some diplomacy, or...
That's going to be in the next Fire and Blood book if we ever get it.
I think it's the World of Ice and Fire. I mean, there's more details on it, but it's not in the main series. At least I don't know, not as much detail.
Well, yeah. Humphrey Wagstaff. That's a phallic name. that's a 65-year-old man. She was.
They have Nimble Dick as well in this chapter.
The crap. Too, so. Nimble Dick and Humphrey Wagstaff.
George.
That name is George. Had a few drinks and then he was like, Humphrey Wagstaff. Perfect. Nailed it.
Of course, like when I'm reading through it, it didn't even click. Like, I didn't even realize it was an innuendo of the name.
There's so much of that.
Wedding House Man Woody Down.
Oh, I love it. George, never change.
The dwarf brother, I'm pretty sure he gets killed later on. I think.
Is that... Do you remember when? Do you remember when he shows up? Or?
Well, I think they show his head later. Like, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure, but I feel like he is because of Cersei's like prize, you know, like that she put out there, like to
enter
his head. They basically start killing all the ships, and then I think they show his head, and she's like, "This is the wrong one. It's not him."
Oh, is that the same? Oh, jeez.
I feel like it is. Yeah.
These books are so.
Does it say in the chapter? I don't know if it gives the Tower of the Hand, but I feel like it is.
All right. Yeah, we'll have to figure out maybe.
Yeah, show up again later.
No, I was just going to ask about the ending of this chapter and the arrival of Podrick Payne.
Right. Who... He actually was following her. Like, he showed up earlier in the chapter and he kind of like pretended not to be following her. But
it sounds like he's been stalking her for a little while here. I mean, he must have come all the way from King's Landing, right?
Yeah.
When she took off, so. Yeah, he's been following her for a while. I mean, good on him.
Right.
He seems so timid and afraid, but yet he's traversing this place. He's following her across the entire realm, you know, but on his lonesome, pretty much. Good on him. He must be terrified.
But at the end, he says that Tyrion left him. I was just like, oh. and she says, he's not 10, is he? Because she guessed his age at 10. He's older than 10, right?
They make a point to really drive home that Brienne is terrible at guessing, especially.
Right.
She always guesses too young. So, but who knows?
Like, I know the TV show obviously aged them up quite a bit, but I mean, I didn't think he was, you know.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite that young. He looks young, especially to Brienne. Yeah.
And he's stuttering. Now, is he stuttering because he stutters, or is he stuttering because he's kind of like scared?
I think he stutters.
He stutters generally. It's made worse by the fact he just got beat up by Brienne. But she refers to that. Like, she feels sympathy for that because she remembers having the same issue or a similar issue.
Two outsiders.
Well, also the Sir Ronnet, like who was coming to talk to her. Like she remembers that. I feel like he shows up again later with I think with Jaime, and he also remembers meeting her.
Yeah. So I mean. Hearing the history of Duskendale was really interesting. Again, I enjoyed reading that part as a refresher. And then how they just killed everybody in the family.
I know, so brutal. And the side family too, right? Like everybody except for Dantos. Like Dantos was spared because Varistan spared him. Like asked for him to be spared.
I just gotta wonder how many people when like that happened were like, Can we escape? Can we leave? Because this is there's no way this is going to end anything but badly.
Yeah.
Should have killed that mad king.
Well, yeah. I mean, they say it's also the thing that pushed him over the edge. Or maybe he would become mad anyway at some point. So they sped it up. So it's like they made him mad, and then they didn't get him. Didn't kill him.
Yeah. Something tells me he would have gone mad regardless of if he got kidnapped or not. What was it? He was visiting and they took him hostage?
Why did they even bother? It seems why would you do that? So risky to do that.
Yeah. But, what was the plan here?
Was he already doing, like, was he coming there to do something bad to them? And they said, well, you should have brought more guards because we're taking you now or something. What exactly happened? I don't recall, but, it just would have been better if Tywin stormed the city and he got killed. Like, it objectively would have been better for the Targaryens and the rest of the realm.
But, you know, politics.
His madness always gets me because it's like we still don't know much about Varys. And, did he know that Aerys was going mad? Like, was he purposely trying to drive him over the edge? Or was he just... Did he think he was doing his job, or did he hate him from the start? Like, that's where my curiosity is, really.
Right, because there's certainly some characters that say that he did. He's the one who helped push him to be crazy, but that's just one point of view. We don't know if that's accurate. Varys certainly himself says he didn't do that. This is what he said. I think so. I don't know. It depends on what's his goal. Was his goal to replace them? Is that part of his plan? But
yeah, because I always didn't like about the show was how they kind of painted Varys as the good guy, sneaky dude, yeah. And Littlefinger as the bad guy, sneaky dude. Whereas I was like, they're both horrible people.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, if he goes to if his goal was to put the Blackfyres in power, if that was his goal, then it makes sense that he would bring down the Targaryens and then later bring in the Blackfyres. Like that would be in alignment if that's his goal.
Yeah, but it seemed like Rhaegar was a good dude. I don't know.
Oh yeah, no, Rhaegar was a good dude, but I don't think Varys cared about that. So the fact he's like, he doesn't care about that because if his goal is to put certain people in power, then it doesn't matter if Rhaegar's a good dude. It still would kill him or put him out of power. Like if his goal is to work with Illyrio, like we know what Illyrio's goal is to support them, but we don't know if Varys is 100% in alignment with him or not. But it just goes back, what did they do when that made them rich? Like what was their MO? Because maybe they paired up as when they were young and they became very rich. Well, they would steal things and then sell it back at a higher price, right? That was kind of the MO. So if you apply that here, it's like they kind of like bring down Targaryens and then sell it back to a higher price to Blackfyres and Targaryens, put somebody in there. It's just on a huge scale.
Yep. George needs to finish the book. I need answers.
I feel so bad for Ser Dantos.
Why? He was a creep.
Was he?
Yes. Maybe he was a creep because of his upbringing.
He's a lone survivor and then gets made into a jester fool and obviously takes to the cup and just unhappy. I get sad at like, oh, he's being a hero and he can, you know, somebody offers him this opportunity to save an innocent girl and he's like, yes, and then he dies. Ugh. Womp womp. What a rough world. Anything else in this chapter that stuck out to you guys?
Not for me, I think. Actually.
Well, then I am flipping to our next chapter, which is the first Sansa chapter of A Feast for Crows. It is chapter number 11. And let's see. We have Sansa, who is in the Eyrie. And Marillion, who they accused of pushing Lysa, however you want to say it, out the moon door and killing her. Now he's kind of in one of the sky cells and he's singing all night and all day and it's driving Sansa crazy. And she's coming to terms with like, what the hell is going on? Now I have to lie. There's Lord Nestor who's coming up to kind of see what happened. And so she's going to have to lie to him. And Littlefinger's kind of teaching her, like, they kind of have, you know, discussions about, oh, yeah, the lies here and the lies this, and, well, we'll tell this and this person. There's a lot of, like, scheming going on in this chapter.
Yep.
And eventually Lord Nestor comes up, and he kind of goes to a side room with Baelish and Sansa, and Baelish makes him the guard gate? The keeper of the gates. But he does it in such a way that if Baelish is no longer the lord, then the keeper of the gates doesn't really matter because he signed the paperwork. And so Sansa's kind of getting these lessons, he's sort of like giving her this information about, do you know why I did that? Do you know why I did that? And just this, you know, you can see. I mean, I felt when I was reading it, these gears kind of clicking in her head of like, oh, okay, she's learning the ropes of this subterfuge. And then at the end, little Robert Aaron comes and nestles with her and falls asleep, we hope. And that is that chapter. I mean, fall asleep, we hope, as opposed to like shaking and going crazy and like peeing the bed all night long. Yeah, not anything gross and sinister. Like
he's not long for this world. Like it seems to be like even if no one kills him off, going to die. I mean, Peter mentions it. Like
he's in rough shape, huh? Like I remember when I first did the read, I was just like, oh, he's just his upbringing has just been terrible, which for granted it has, but he also has some, disabilities that, he's not having a good time.
Yeah. It's one of those things that you have to wonder, is like, even if it wasn't Lysa and Peter, if he was in a decent household, would it be even better? Like, there's definitely something more going on, right? Like, you can't blame them for everything, but
yeah,
certainly bleeding him is not helping.
Yeah, he might still be alive because he was with these two. Like, can you imagine, like, if he was a Tarly or something? Mm-hmm. Like, Randall would have just killed him a long time ago. Or, you know, something bad would have happened to him. Mm-hmm. Wait. Yeah, the kid is clueless. He doesn't know anything that's happening.
Oh.
I can't help but feel bad for him as well. As much as I want to just be like, what are you doing, you stupid little kid? What stuck out of you this chapter, folks?
As you said, a lot of detail on Peter and how he works. Like, it's a nice kind of point of view to see what he does, how he knows how to give people what they want. You know, he knows that these people don't like Marillion, so he builds on that. Like, so they're kind of predisposed to accept the lie that Marillion is the one who killed Lysa, because they already didn't like him already. And then he gives them a bribe in an indirect way, because he couldn't give them directly. They wouldn't accept it. So he's quite good at manipulating people. It certainly shows that clearly. And then he's good at putting like the little mixers of truth. Like, at some point when he's telling the story, he's like, oh, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have sent them alone. It's I who killed her. Which is true, right?
He Santa's like, no! No. No, that's not part of the plan. What's happening?
Yeah, but he's always kind of putting somewhere. I mean, that's the whole truth there, like the element of it. He puts the truth in with his lies to make the lies more believable. Yeah.
What's the saying? The best lies have a tinge of truth or something. Yeah.
And those who lie best, they believe the lies too. Like they
so. You tell a lie enough times, and it becomes the truth.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to get Sansa to do with constantly.
Right.
Reminding her.
That's so true. Yeah. I love how they bring, what is it, Marillion? Mm-hmm. They bring him out and he's just, you know, being his typical annoying self. And they take him out and all the lords are like, God, I hate that guy.
Well, I was thinking the singers actually get hit pretty bad in these last couple of books as well, because they have one in the Blue Bard in King's Landing as well, so kind of tortured the same way. And forced to tell lies.
Yeah, but Marillion kind of had it coming.
No, he deserved it. Marillion certainly deserved it. I don't know if the Blue Bar did, but yeah. He Sansa points that out.
So what is the deal? We don't learn in this chapter what the deal that Baelish and Marillion brokered, right? There's a part where Baelish is telling Sansa, don't worry, kind of like, he'll say the right thing, which leads me to think that they had a conversation and Baelish figured out how to manipulate him into speaking what he wants him to speak. But yeah,
it wasn't so much, it wasn't his traditional manipulation in terms of like a deal as a bribe. He was basically tortured and broken and now will say anything, right? Like he was, that's what I say, like, more.
Do you think it was just torture? Do you think
that singing is not a sound mind make?
Yeah. Other than the fact that Peter may have promised to let him live, I feel like, or it didn't really come out clearly in this chapter, I feel somewhere it seemed like Peter is going to let him live. I probably the lords are going to kill him at some point, but it's
yeah, I just can't help but with Littlefinger, I gotta imagine that he had words with him at some point. You know, I can't see Baelish as just being like, well, I hope we beat him up enough.
Yeah, but it comes across as they broke him more than they manipulated him.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do agree that he did talk to him at some point. He didn't just trust that Mort broke him. He went in and talked to him. And then his backup is if he somehow doesn't say what they want, they'll just say he's just a lying fool. Like, they'll just, no one will believe him anyway. But it's certainly, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, the fact that he brings the Royces, I mean, the lesser branch now, basically, to support him is key, right? Like, he puts, they're already in a key location. And so he's just setting up. Because that was the thing. When you come into the book, you feel like, well, isn't Peter finished power-wise, like, here? Like, he's not going to actually be able to hold on to power for a while. And he just keeps holding on to it.
Yeah, I love it. He's so earnest. He's like, hey, there's no way I can fight you guys. He's like, I got like 1,000 guys. You have like 10,000 or whatever the numbers are.
He doesn't even have 1,000. I love it. He's got like nothing. He's
got the, it's just another like, you know, honest. It's just like, yeah, I can't beat you guys physically. Like, it's yours. Like,
and but it brings his threat level down that way too, right? He's like, yeah, I know. If you know, if they take me out, that's it. But you know, I'm here to serve or whatever, right? And
but it's so smart of him to, hey, Nestor, let me give you the thing you want as long as I am in power.
Yeah, he ties it to him, right? The way that it's signed. So
it's great. Like,
he makes a point of not doing it as a bribe, but just being like, yeah, this was totally in the works before she died.
Right. And even the fact that they put it, she was carrying my child and it was killed. Like the stuff like that that he puts into the lies. It's almost like, oh, then I would have had a child and I would have been in power, but for this happening.
It's one of those things where, you know what, I wouldn't doubt that Lysa believed that point.
Oh, she was batshit crazy. Love it. No.
Peter also put Lothar Brun we know that, but it's kind of reiterated that he put him into like position of captain of guards. Like, he always does that. He puts his people into power wherever he goes, right? So
yeah.
Heck yeah.
And you mentioned that Kettle Black watches Brun and Brun watches Kettle Black.
Right.
Mm.
Sansa kind of views, she looks at Littlefinger, he has two different faces. Like, I mean, Littlefinger, the face, and Peter, and then it's like, where does one end and the other begins? It's interesting, that kind of view of him.
So that line that Robin says, Elaine, are you my mother now? I suppose I am, she said. If a lie was kindly meant, then it meant no harm. Does that take us anywhere? What do we get out of that? Are you my mom now? I suppose I am.
I think that's her becoming more comfortable with lying.
Yes. I think that's one of the takeaways of the chapter, right? She keeps telling herself, a lie is okay if there's no harm or if it's needed or whatever. It's right. She's accepting lying, basically.
That's great. I love that. Okay. I mean, I love that and I hate that. Thank you.
that theme is articulated in chapters. So one of the key chapters, one of the key themes of the chapter. What's another funny thing is Robert is afraid of men with moles.
I think the one thing I want most out of the books, if we ever get them, is seeing her outplay Littlefinger at some point.
Agreed. I hope she just tricks the shit out of him at some point. That would be awesome. Time will tell.
Also, the fact that he gave away the Keeper's Post. I mean, I guess Peter realized there was value in it, but not enough to hold on to. Like, it's better to do that because Lysa really wanted that for, you know, her maybe other children. But it's not as important as the Eerie. It's something you can give away. A prize is big enough to give away. So,
yeah, it's like the Dragonstone of the Eerie. Mm-hmm. I think he values having a Royce as an ally more.
Right. He's not stopping with the Eerie, right? That's just a stepping stone. Even the Eerie itself is a stepping stone to other goals. So he can give away things, and this, a prize is part of the game, a move that he's making. Yeah.
I guess. How many castles does he own at this point? How many lords of what? How many castles?
Well, Lord of Harrenhal, Lord Paramount of the Trident, Lord Protector of the Eerie and the Vale. That's spelled out in the chapter. So those are his titles.
And don't forget the little fingers.
Yeah. And Lord of the Lingers.
Northern sheep.
Right, I mean, at this stage, he's like one of the most powerful men in the country.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking at? The continent, the country, the world, what am I?
It would be kingdoms, a continent, right?
On the continent? Okay. In Westeros, I'll just say. Mm-hmm. In Westeros.
Well, but a lot of it is all on paper, right? Like, what is Harrenhal? And like, he has nothing out of that, and he doesn't actually command any of the troops yet. But the titles did help him move up, right? So the fact that he was in a position to be the proper person to marry Lysa in the first place. But one other thing in the chapter that caught my mind is Sansa. She keeps thinking about what her aunt said before she dies, so she was aware of that, and she's still processing that, and maybe she'll process it more later. But like, she certainly processed it. You know, that she.
What did she say?
Yeah, she remembered that Lysa killed her husband. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
That she remembers that part of it.
Yeah.
So that would mean she probably remembers Peter saying, telling her to do that.
Do that, right. Yeah.
That's damning.
But she only...
She doesn't even like Peter,
but she's like, well, I have no one else, right? So she's forced to stay with Peter. But that the knowledge of that is something to be well for later.
Yeah. And I think, doesn't she say that she wrote the letter to Kat, too, in that frenzy?
That's right. All the details are in there, right?
Mentioned.
Yeah.
I don't know if she'll ever think back and put it together. Because
mm-hmm.
I kept hoping Bran would realize what happened when he saw Cersei and Jaime, and that never panned out.
It's always so wild to think that she started this book series. These events happen. It's fascinating. Oh, we got a Jenny of Old Stones mentioned.
Huh? Yeah, I see that. Lots of song drops. The name of the songs here.
Yeah, he sang of the Dance of the Dragons, of Fair Jonquil and her fool, of Jenny of Old Stones, and the Prince of Dragonflies. Who is the Prince of Dragonflies again? Do we remember?
I know we should know, but I can't.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you guys on the spot. I'm genuinely curious.
He's one of the, I feel like he's a Targaryen, but like maybe one that lost power or was like.
Duncan Targaryen. Duncan the Small, Prince of Dragonflies. Mm-hmm. He was a son of Aegon the Fifth.
There we go.
And Queen Betha Blackwood. And he gave up the throne for love.
Ah. Mm.
Okay. Jenny of Old
Stones. They tie Old Stones to him, so that I guess presumably he went for Jenny then, right?
Oh, yes. Okay. Jenny of Old Stones, Charlotte, peasant woman. Prince Duncan in 237 AC, Prince Duncan was betrothed to a daughter of Lionel Baratheon of Storm's End, one of several advantageous betrothals arranged by his mother at the time. However, in 239 AC, while traveling in the Riverlands, Duncan encountered and fell in love with and married a, quote, strange, lovely, and mysterious peasant woman known as Jenny of Old Stones.
Cool. A love potion.
Jenny of Old Stones, who we do bump into later, right?
Wait, isn't she the very old crone? Or the old crone?
The one that talks to Cersei, isn't it?
I think so.
Is it that one? Or is it the other one that the Arya meets? Or maybe that is somebody who knew of her.
Or are they the same? Are all crones the same in my head? I don't know.
Let me look it up.
Every old lady's the same.
Ghost of High Heart sings a song about it, but is it her or is she just aware of it? Oh, no, she was a friend. Her friend was the singer, so she knew Jenny, I guess. That's what I was referring
to. Oh, is dragonflies I'm thinking of, like, the bugs, the dragonflies, but I think it's more like he flew from the throne. You know, he abdicated the throne.
That's interesting. I thought it was just more that he's small, right? Like the Prince of Dragonflies. Like,
yeah, I guess maybe a little bit of both, but, now I'm reading this and I'm getting the feeling that it's, the dragon flew away. Dragonflies. Interesting. All right. Anything else, folks?
I think that's all.
That's about it for me.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, that was fun. That felt good.
Yeah.
To be talking to you both again.
Yep.
The next chapter is The Kraken's Daughter. I don't know if we have a Dance of Dragons chapter before we get to that, but...
Crazy that like we've been podcasting longer than most of my friendships in real life. That's insane.
Yeah, when did it start? When did the podcast start? I mean,
2008.
Oh, holy cow! Wild. I know our last episode was about 8 years ago, but you know. Still around. Awesome. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening to this episode of A Podcast of Ice and Fire. Join us. I think our Discord is the most happening place. And Amin, is there a link to the Discord on the website?
There is, yeah. There should be. I always post it every couple of episodes, but I think it's there.
Okay.
So post it with this episode, but I'll see if I can add it permanently on the site as well. That's what
sounds good.
Yeah.
We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on X. At APOIAF, join in. Brendan, welcome back, sir. Everybody, check out the Discord. He's doing a recap chapter by chapter. character. So he's got some good insight. So get out, and we will see you next time.
See you next year.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
Great. That was fun. Yeah, that's good. For an hour, I guess. So good.
Yeah. What time is it? Oh, almost dinner time. All right. All right, folks. Well, have a good evening, and I guess I'll talk to you soon.
Sure. See ya.
Awesome.
Hello, folks. It's good to hear your voices.
Yeah, it's been
I'm going to try to take my Bluetooth off, and if it still sounds exactly the same, then I know it's just not working.
Okay, let's see.
I was just playing some magic on Arena.
Nice. On the computer, you mean? Or?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm hooked on it. I mean,
can you hear me fine?
Let's see. Yeah, I think so.
Yep. Then sounds the same. Okay, so they just weren't working. All right. My laptop is just like busted at this point, so I'm using my iPad. Mm-hmm. But I've used the iPad before without issue, but I think it's because my headsets don't directly connect to it, and I can't figure out how to fix it. But I mean, if you guys can hear me fine and it's no issue, then good, I guess.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Sounds good on my end. All these years, and we still have so many technical problems.
Well, that's the thing. We're always recording by distance. A lot of people are in the same city and recording in our same room.
Well, true. Considering I've still got the same laptop from when we first started, I just need a new laptop.
I think I was using the same one until just recently myself. Crazy.
Yeah, they're good. There's good prices now, actually, for boxing game.
Yeah, I have a really new iPad, and it's like I can do everything I need with the iPad, so it feels kind of redundant to bother fixing the computer, right? Mm. So.
Yeah, iPad.
And I have a gaming PC in the basement, but my husband's also down there making lots of noise, so I don't use it for anything else but gaming.
Mm. All right, what's the episode number? Episode number
271. Trailer. Should we start with the trailer first?
I just realized I spent all this time reading the chapters. I forgot to watch the trailer.
The trailer's only 1 minute, so you can watch it right now.
We can watch it right now.
We can do like a live reaction. Watch it on my phone.
Yeah, if we weren't just an audio podcast, I'd say we should watch it while we record, but
yeah.
I don't know what our listeners would get out of that. I know. I just watched it. Myself. We got to the death of the king. It was actually, his performance was actually fantastic, I thought.
He elevated that role more than the king was in the story, which was not like kind of like a nothing. Like, it was interesting to see him, so.
Yeah, he did a great job, I thought. He had some. It was good to watch. Hard to watch sometimes, but good to watch.
Yet.
Yeah, so if you want, actually, you can watch the trailer, and then we'll
all right, start. All right, I'll pull it up on my phone.
Yeah, watch it. Put us on mute, because we'll chat. Yeah. All right. Episode number 271 for the week of the 7th. How the hell does this intro go? Hello. You are listening.
Yeah.
You are listening. That's how it starts. Okay. I'm sure it'll all come back as I start to say it. So, any word from the Comic-Con folk?
No, but often it takes a while for them to get back. They're pretty busy. Like it might be a week or two before I get a response, but.
Yeah, it was weird. I log into my account and it says, what the heck was that? Oh, my computer's got all the noises. It said included. It was like a tag that said included under my name. And I was like, the heck is that? And then everything it said I was supposed to find, it was either supposed to say not qualified or approved. Like those words were nowhere on the website.
Yeah, well, there was only one thing that I did notice later. I didn't notice it initially. After I sent the email, I was looking through it again. Somewhere it says expiration rate is 2024. Expiration year is 2024. So that
I did see that.
Yeah. That makes me think that probably we have to apply again. So we'll see.
Right. Yeah, it's weird when the dates are like that because it's 2023 now and we're applying, but like so. It's like, well, okay, is it...
say that's the last year that we get it, though. You need to read it the other way, right?
Right, exactly. Right. Like, oh, the last year that you have this is 2024.
Yeah.
Or is it, you know, needs to be renewed for the 2024 show? Like,
yeah, you could read it either way.
Yeah, but I just feel like, and you should be the key server because you've been doing that, you know.
Right, I asked them to do that as well, to switch it to years. I said, if you need a supply.
Because, you know, I wake up in cold sweat sometimes feeling like I missed an email and that I'm going to screw you over. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's good to get that there. You know, I mean, odds are that I will get panelists, some kind of panel anyway, but that happens later. So that's why it's nice to have the press because you get a few months earlier, you know you have that badge.
And yeah.
And you can plan for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going down this year. I haven't been down in a long time. I took off for Europe right before this year's one, so I didn't end up going. But my friend went, and he was very thankful. So thank you for that, Amin.
Great. Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it more than last year because you know there'll be actually be industry and stuff there again, because the strike's over, right? So it'll be better in that sense.
I'm sure it was nice in a way of kind of a little bit calmer. I don't know.
No, it was worse because they didn't have Hall H and other places to go. So everybody just went to the exhibit hall and it just flooded and made more people in the exhibit hall.
Oh, so it was the same amount of people just in lesser locations.
Yeah, so it was worse that way. When you know you have Hall H, you know you have the less stuff going on, it actually makes the exhibit hall better because less people there. They're going to the other places. So I think it's going to be better.
Yeah, it was my friend's first time going, so he was like, whoa, crazy. Nice. Yeah, and another friend of mine works for Proco, works for like a artist company that does a lot of work down there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of...
Are you sad? Okay. When we get to the chapters, are you going to use Tower of the Hand for your summary, or how are you going to do that? Well, I mean, it's pretty short.
I've got to do the summary? they are going to be terrible. I can. The Tower of the Hand one is very long, so I'm not going to read that.
No,
I mean,
you can just have that open.
Yeah, I mean, my summaries will not be very in-depth today. It's going to be it's going to be like two sentences.
Yeah.
Hey, we had some activity on the Discord too, didn't we? Did Brendan return?
Brendan returned to Discord, yes. Is he doing a chapter reread himself? Or I don't have it open, actually.
Yeah, he was doing a... Let's see.
You should mention that. Let's see again.
Yeah, people can join that. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, he's plowing through it. What a ferocious reader, yeah. Brendan.
The historian, the podcast historian.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Yeah, we should definitely mention that.
Okay, perfect.
I was wondering if, since we never do episode by episode recaps of the show,
never.
Well, we do one or two.
We did half of them. We did half this season.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering if you would want to try to do it on like YouTube, but like even if we can't get everyone there, because I know Amin is busy and Kyle can be busy, and I'm never busy unless I'm in Canada.
We have YouTube available. You want to do like recaps on YouTube, like short kind of recaps after you see the episode?
Yeah, like right after the episodes come out rather than, you know, weeks later when we finally can all get together because trying to get us all together has never happened.
Yeah, do some recaps. You mean just yourself?
Well, if you guys are available.
Oh, you're looking to do a video podcast.
Podcasts are going the way of YouTube. Yeah. So that's just why.
Well, it's easier to get it out to. I mean, Kyle, if you're available to do that. I mean, I think actually do it if Kyle's available to join in. Do it. I mean, it won't be the long episodes anymore, right? It'll probably be like 10, 15 minutes or something.
Yeah. Be like super long. Or if no one's around, I don't know. I could probably talk someone in my friend's group to going on.
Right. No, YouTube is available. Like, if you want to do that, feel free. Like, we haven't put anything up there recently. I remember you did some stuff for
Dungeons & Dragons. I need to relearn how to use it, but...
Yeah.
I'm not against having the camera on me and talking stuff, but the interest is
many
there.
Months.
Yeah, it wouldn't be until summer anyway. Summer 2024. So, yeah,
I was going to say, I was like, this doesn't come out till when? Yeah, it's summer. Okay.
Cool. All right. I guess we'll get started.
Dust off the YouTubes. Make some shorts. Oh yeah, we could do shorts, lots of quotes. Love it. Okay, yeah. Do we want to dive into this? Let me get the dust off.
Yeah,
kick the dust off.